struggling to keep up with emergency room overflow. Well, the plan includes offering more surgeries at private clinics, removing registration fees for internationally trained nurses, and looking at transfers from hospitals to long-term care homes for the elderly. I spoke with the Vice Dean of Health Sciences and Director of the School of Nursing at Queen's University, Dr. Erna Snellgrove-Clark, initially to get her perspective on the province's plan. But then I realized I had a story on my hands. This was obviously been big news with our health minister, Sylvia Jones, releasing a plan to tackle what's being billed as the province's health sector crisis. It's been described by some as on the verge of collapse. And certainly a major part of what is being addressed is the staffing shortages with regards to nurses. This is certainly a topic that I've covered in the past with the president of the Ontario Nursing Association, Dr. Catherine Hoy, who has talked great length about this and about Bill 124 and all of that. But I'd like to hear from you. You know, what do you feel is the biggest issue right now with regards to attracting and retaining nurses in our local healthcare system?
Well, it's an interesting question that you pose, Karim, because we don't have any trouble attracting nurses. And that's the part of this that I think in some of the ways that we speak, it's rather confusing, because over the past year, and I think the exact intake year was 2021, at the School of Nursing at Queen's, we had a 59% jump in our applicants for our undergraduate program. So what's most interesting is we do have some fractures in our healthcare system, that's for certain, but those have been longstanding, and nursing has been talking about the shortage for many, many years. And what has happened as a result of COVID is it's further exemplified that we haven't been paying attention to the nurses that are retiring, the need for more nurses, and the need to open seats so that those seats are available so we can educate the nurses.
Now, I understand as part of the health plan, it was to remove registration fees for nurses who were trained outside of Canada. Do you feel that this is a step in the right direction?
I think any strategy that we put in place will be helpful. I don't think that strategy in and of itself is going to change what's happening, but it certainly will enable persons to have maybe greater financial success in being able to start. But in order to educate more nurses, and while there are some places, and I don't know them all, sadly, within our province that offer this, there may not be enough for the numbers that they're hoping to get. So I think some more work has to go into that before we're ready to start that process of providing that education and clinical placements.
There may not be enough of, sorry, can you clarify that?
Yeah, I'm not certain that in the moment, as much as we are talking about educating internationally educated nurses, that the current universities and colleges that have these programs to enable them to come in, about the number of spaces that are there.
Okay.
For spots for people to receive that education and or places for those nurses to receive the mentorship in the hospital before they write those licensure exams you're speaking of.
So there still are some stuff that needs to be looked at with regards to spots available for education. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the concept is a good concept. The work that needs to be done to prepare for that concept has not all been ironed out at this point.
I mean, and so from what I'm gathering, it's not the fact that there's a shortage of, it's the fact that it's the retention that seems to be the key issue here then.
You know, okay, I think I would probably say that there is a shortage of nurses. That is true, because the nursing population globally by 2029, if I'm getting the year correct, will be 13 million nurses short. So there has been a shortage of nurses for a long time, but it is both the shortage of nurses and the retention. We have an interest of new students coming in, but we need seats for those new students so that we can get them out faster.
Now, some of the other points that have been brought up in the health plan have to do with finding ways to not have patients, crowding in the emergency.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you can speak to that, to some of the strategies that have been implemented looking at.
Actually, I can speak to it because there's a beautiful strategy that we're doing in Queen's Health Sciences. Under the leadership of Dr. Philpott and Dr. Roger Pilon and Dr. Kim Morrison, we're looking at developing a health home. Actually, it's going to be called the Perry Winkle Health Home, where interprofessional collaboration will occur and family physicians and nurse practitioners will work together to support those persons in our community that don't have primary care health providers. So what's happening in our emergencies, for example, in the overload, is that many people don't have care providers. So we're going to, as part of our faculty, set up a health home where they can go to receive the care that they're not getting from an immediate, say, family physician or nurse practitioner, and then decrease that intake in emergency to be able to go to get support from the Perry Winkle Health Home.
Oh, so this is currently in the works, this project?
It is currently in the works. We have, I believe, secured a location. There has been a special advisor to the dean hired, that's Dr. Roger Pilon, to get it going. There's a group of interprofessionals that are working to talk about what we need. The dean has met with the health minister to gain her support so we can get this initiated, because what we're, you know, in a conversation that I had yesterday with the Globe, I made reference to the fact that many times we don't think upstream. And so we have all these people going to emerge because they're not getting immediate primary care. And if we think about new and new initiatives and strategies that we can help people earlier rather than later, we won't have these backlogs that we currently have. So by putting more nurse practitioners into the system, by increasing the way we work in teams, so that we can parcel out the care that's needed rather than leaving it to one specific care provider, I think we can help decrease some of those challenges that we're currently having.
Okay, well, I'm really curious to learn more about this project. So this is going to be in the Kingston area, home?
Yes, in Kingston.
Because I feel like this is completely new here. So I
find brand new.
This is a story. This is great.
It totally is a story. It shouldn't be one that I own, because there is a group of people who are actively working on it. But I was given permission to share it with you as a new initiative that we're working on for moving forward.
Excellent.
So in Kingston, we have roughly 20,000 persons who are not attached to a primary care provider. And so when you think about backlog, if you don't have a family physician or a nurse practitioner to go to, if you have a health concern, you go to emergency for something that could be seen in an area where there are interprofessionals working together. So that's the concept behind this, so we can open it up and have a place for people to go.
Because this certainly has been a local issue with, Hotel Dieu having to shut down early on a couple of occasions, but just not having the staff to care for all the people who are ending up in emergency.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this certainly sounds like this strategy with creating this care home is really going to be a solution.
I think it really is going to be a solution. I mean, this is one step in the beginning of solutions, because what we need to do is, what I would argue is that our system and our processes are not functioning effectively. And we can look at different areas as the source of the problem, but it's the collective that we need to look at. And we need to look at healthcare and work in new ways to provide it, because the old ways aren't working. And unless we start soon, yesterday, to think about how we're going to provide support to the persons in our community, then we're going to get behind. And we're already seeing that with nurses, because we haven't attended to the fact that the nurses are not being retained in the hospital for a variety of different reasons. So interest is there. The pandemic has shown us that, because our applications rate have increased ever since COVID. So there are young persons who want to be nurses. We just have to have the place to put them. And then we have to think of new ways to work together so we can enhance the services that we are providing and get away from these challenges that we've been experiencing.
There continues to be calls to repeal Bill 124, with capping nurses' wages and going further than that in some respects. Do you feel like this is something that really should the discussion around this should continue?
I think that all persons' salaries should be considered in a time when we're having challenges. I know that we're bringing in temporary agency nurses to do the work of staff because of shortages, and we have the money, lots of money, to pay the temporary nurses, but we're not able to give the additional funds to persons that Bill 124 align with. So I think we should be looking at how we pay people, how we treat people, how we value people in order to keep them motivated and wanting to work in the organizations where they are.
Because there definitely is some deeper root causes going on with regards to health and safety, to burnout. And this is all part of the bigger picture.
That's right. And that's why when people talk about how we're going to fix this, there isn't a fix. It is a systems issue that has been around for a long time. And we've come to the critical juncture where it's time for us to really think about moving forward. We can band-aid some things, but other things we really need to get to the root source and take down what has been the issues and problems in the past. Money could be one of those things, but how we work together in organizations to provide care. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for, to support people to have healthful outcomes.
Another part of the plan involved increasing surgeries offered at private clinics, and I know there's been some debate around whether this could further cause harm to the public health system. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I struggle with that one tremendously, because my first response is what happens to the Canada Health Act. So I feel that's one of those band-aids. If persons are able to afford private, but that may affect those that cannot. And we made an agreement in our country that we would provide care for all. So privatizing is not going to move us towards success. It may further alienate us to finding ways to work together, but rather than becoming separate sources of care.
Yes. So we've touched on private. We've touched on registration for international trained nurses. We've touched on also care homes as well, to help clear out the overflow from emergency. Anything else you'd like to touch on?
If I could have a magic card, I would tell you that in all of the work that I've done in nursing and interprofessional care, in every element of research, the number one variable that comes out at the end of the day is communication. And a lot of times people plan to move forward and how we're going to do it in silos and not together. And if we want to tackle the fractures that we have in our healthcare system, then all persons, whether they range from decision makers to frontline persons, we need to talk together about the issues, to hear each other, to understand those barriers and facilitators. I'm quite confident that we can make a change. I think the health home that I've mentioned to you is one of those places where people are working together collaboratively to make a change. If we could look at that broad scale, I'm quite confident we could improve the way that care is being provided right now and the way that it will be provided in the future.
Wow. So communication between all different levels, meeting people where they're at and working together versus
absolutely
the decisions, like you said, being made and there being that lack of communication. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And you feel like that's been another root cause of what we're seeing right now in the system.
I certainly do. Yes.
Great. Well, listen, thank you very much, Erna, for joining me today.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.